Hello and welcome to the dark and foreboding realm of cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries known as the Within the Mist podcast. We are your guides through this shadowed world, Gary and Goldie Ann, ready to delve into the unknown depths of the paranormal. Hello, Goldie Ann. How are you today?
I'm good, Gary. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. This is Easter weekend, so hopefully everyone had a good time.
I enjoy the candy the Easter Bunny left me.
Yes, you got plenty of chocolates to keep you busy for a day or two.
So did you.
Oh, yeah, but mine's only going to last me like 6 hours. Speaking of treats, I want everyone to know that, surprise, surprise, The Cry of the Owl, my fictional book that takes place in Java, is already available on Amazon.
Awesome.
I know, I was kind of surprised because when I uploaded it, it said it took 72 hours to review, and then it would take 5 to 10 days to become available, but...
They always say that.
Well, I did not realize, but it is already available at the time that you're listening to this.
And it's good, guys. Get it. I mean, it's like really good, and I know I'm biased, but it's really good.
Thank you, sweetheart. For you to tell for yourselves, go to Amazon, where it's available on paperback and on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. In fact, it's kind of weird because, and it gives you like the first 9 pages of the book, and it cuts off just as it gets to the good part of that chapter.
Well, that's awesome.
So yeah, they did a really good tease of it. So take a look, let us know what you think, and enjoy.
I'm very proud of you. It's very good.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait for the next one.
I've already got some ideas for the next one. I do have a slight problem, Goldie Ann.
What?
I didn't like plan this correctly, so I forgot to do a joke for this episode.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Probably make a lot of people happy.
Well, it would, but April Fools, I have a joke. Yes, the day this is being released is April Fool's Day. So, Goldie Ann, what is the last thing that goes through a bug's mind before it hits the windshield?
His ass.
Ooh, very good. It's butt.
And I don't celebrate April Fool's Day. Why? Because it's my son's birthday.
Yes.
So we don't ever celebrate April Fool's Day. We only celebrate Trevor's birthday.
Are you sure?
I'm going to knock the crap out of you with the next thing you say.
In that regards, let's discuss the disclaimer for today's episode. It delves into a true crime case that involves a ghostly vehicle that seems to appear and disappear like a phantom, but leaving bullet holes and attacks on motorists on the highway.
What the hell?
Possibly directly from hell. Because we are storytellers of cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries, we don't intend to scare our listeners on purpose. Well, maybe just a little. Listener discretion is always advised. But first, a word from our sponsor. Welcome back.
What? I never left. I've been sitting right here next to you.
It's a good thing, because now we can start the story. In 1952, a ghost car appeared on a desolate stretch of U.S. Highway 66.
Isn't that the same year your dad was born?
No, my father was born in 1950. Oh. So he was 2 years old when this was going on. So he has an alibi.
Knowing your dad, I wouldn't put it past him at 2 years old.
But this car caused chaos and fear amongst the residents of Joliet, Illinois. Witnesses described the sleek blue vehicle as defying physics as it raced down the highway, leaving panic in its wake. Despite police denial, rumors persisted of an armed and vengeful driver, described by some as a ghostly apparition, and as others, as malevolent demon behind the wheel.
Ooh.
As quickly as it arrived, the ghost car disappeared into the night, leaving only its legend to haunt the minds of those who encountered it. So join us today as we drive within the mists of Illinois to search for the Blue Phantom.
That sounds cool.
I hope you enjoy.
Okay.
Chapter 1, The Heat on Route 66. The sun, a scorching inferno, blazed mercilessly in the sky, searing the barren landscape of Route 66 near 1952's Joliet, Illinois. Its rays beat down with relentless force, igniting every dust particle in the air and turning it into a fiery haze that shimmered with intensity. The highway stretched on endlessly, a desolate and unforgiving path with the occasional glimmer of faded yellow lines. In the distance were mountains and buildings that seemed blurred, as if seen through a feverish haze, and each mile of asphalt felt like driving on molten lava, the heat searing vehicles along the route. One motorist was tearing down the desolate highway at breakneck speed, tires screeching in protest as they gripped the pavement with ferocity. Then behind, another sleek and determined sedan trailed closely, its driver leaning forward with determination in his steely gaze. The two cars engaged in a mock high-speed chase, each refusing to back down or give an inch of space on the desolate road. But then, a loud pop pierced through the scorching silence. A sharp snap like a gunshot echoing off the surrounding mountains and reverberating through the atmosphere. It was followed by the sound of tires screeching and engines revving, adding to the chaotic symphony of heat and speed. In the oncoming lane was another vehicle, racing towards the pair. Both drivers had to veer off the road in a desperate attempt to avoid the oncoming blue car. The passenger inside was wielding a rifle, its barrel protruding from the side window, his finger hovering over the trigger. As if in a jousting match, the blue Rolls-Royce Phantom gleamed in the sunlight, its sleek body and chrome details catching the eyes. The Phantom name adorned the car, marking it as a timeless classic model of Rolls-Royce. It was a symbol of wealth and luxury, a true masterpiece on the roads of that time. Its size and stature exuded power and prestige, making it stand out against the landscape. But as it raced down the road towards the two oncoming cars, its elegant lines and impeccable design starkly contrasted with the heat. It moved almost as if it was gliding on the road, painting a deep, shimmering blue that seemed to change color in the sunlight. The dark, tinted window disguised the driver and any passengers inside, giving the car an otherworldly appearance, like a true ghost haunting the deserted highway.
That's cool. I mean, it wouldn't be cool if I was driving next to it, but it sounds cool in story form.
Well, in story form, whoever it was at the wheel took aim at the unsuspecting drivers who were now careening out of control to avoid a collision on the road. After narrowly avoiding the blue Phantom, there was the screech of brakes and the smell of burnt rubber. Both vehicles came to a stop as the drivers turned to follow the blue Phantom as it drove past. But it was not there. It had vanished from sight amidst the heat waves coming off the highway, as if it had never even existed. The two drivers quickly reported the incident to the local police, relaying all of the details of the near collision in the shaky and panicked voices. One of the drivers discovered that he was wounded by gunfire. And although his wound wasn't life-threatening, blood was seeping through his shirt, signifying that it was still serious. This would not be the only report that the police would receive on that day. Later, another driver pulled off the highway onto a dirt road. He heard a loud bang and saw a blue car speed past him, leaving tire marks in the dust. Quickly checking his rearview mirror, he clenched his jaw, realizing that someone had taken a shot at him. The whereabouts of the attacker, unknown. 3 miles later, he reached Lincoln, Illinois on Route 66, where he reported the incident to the police. It was now obvious to the officers as they realized that a crazed gunman was terrorizing the highways within his blue phantom vehicle, ready to unleash chaos and violence.
Damn.
So kind of terrifying to have a car shooting at you, and even more so when the car vanishes in thin air. Chapter 2, Ambush. The police were baffled by the elusive figure known only as the Blue Phantom. And despite the bright June 2nd sun, their spirits were shrouded in darkness as they searched for any clue to its identity. The tension of waiting for his next appearance weighed heavily on their shoulders, each passing second feeling like an eternity. Someone was going to get hurt. Every day brought new questions, and they feared they might never uncover the truth behind this gun-wielding highway maniac. They were forced to wait for his next appearance. The Blue Phantom devised a new strategy: ambush. And like a deadly predator lying in wait, he planned his next attack with precision and malice. Mystery would cloak his movements as he cruised along the highways, stalking unsuspecting prey, armed and ready to strike with force. Unsuspecting, as he cruised down the narrow winding road, the tires of Edward Smith's sedan hummed along the smooth asphalt. He easily navigated the winding road and took in the scenery of the Sangamon River just to the left of him. But without warning, a deafening thud rattled the car. There was a sudden impact that jolted him out of his thoughts and caused the seatbelt to dig into his shoulder and his head to slam against the window.
Dang.
His foot was able to slam on the brake pedal and he swerved to the side of the road, heart pounding in his chest. Shakingly, he jumped out of the car and ran to the front of his vehicle, frantically checking for any signs of damage. There was a bullet hole in the rear window that was quite large but clear, surrounded by cracked glass and a thin trail of smoke rising from the impact. The edges of the hole were jagged and sharp, evidence of the force behind the bullet. And from the angle it hit, it seemed to have traveled diagonally and lodged itself into the car. The driver checked his rearview mirror just in time to see a figure emerge from the bushes and then dash towards a large blue sedan parked on the side of Route 48. The Blue Phantom peeled away, its tires screeching against the pavement as it headed north. But then, as if in a dream, it vanished.
That's crazy.
The driver was able to tell that the blue sedan was sleek and modern, and its tinted windows revealed nothing of the driver inside. The attacker remained hidden in anonymity, leaving only menacing and threatening presences in the air. As the sun began to set, a crowd of police officers swarmed around an 11-year-old girl, the only other witness to the attack. She was shaking and pale as she recounted the events she had witnessed. It was a dark sedan, either a Ford or a Buick, she said, her voice trembling. And highway patrolmen anxiously examined the cracked remains of Smith's back window, their faces grim with suspicion. They had no clues as to who or even what they were chasing. They did quickly deduce that a powerful .38 caliber bullet must have been the perpetrator of this destruction, and danger began to creep into their hearts as they realized there was a ghostly maniac lurking on the seemingly safe roads.
But so far, we don't know if it's a ghost or if it's just somebody in the tinted windows.
Yes, but they can't seem to understand how this car is able to disappear on open roads in front of the witnesses.
That's true.
Chapter 3, Attacks on the Police.
Uh-oh, now we're getting into some shady-ass business.
Well, June 8th marked a grim milestone as the number of shootings on Central Illinois highways reached double digits. There would be deafening blasts of gunfire and squealing tires reverberating through the once peaceful roads, leaving behind a trail of shattered windshields and petrified drivers, but no sign of the Blue Phantom. Hearts would race as they sped away from the danger, but as for the Blue Phantom, there was only the disappearances, as if he could vanish into smoke. So for months, state troopers and local sheriff deputies had been relentlessly pursuing the elusive ghost car. Determined to finally catch them, they set up roadblocks strategically placed along 70-mile stretches of the highway where he was last seen. They even utilized a low-flying plane to circle overhead as it scanned the area for this dangerous madman. The pilot watched as police cars lined the streets, their flashing lights illuminating the tense scene below. Officers on foot searched every nook and cranny, desperately trying to find any trace of the elusive shooter. But despite their best efforts and even bringing in the aerial support, the perpetrator remained at large, haunting the highways at will. The infamous Phantom vanished into nothingness, living up to his haunting reputation as a ghost on the open road. June 10th marked the day of reckoning for the Blue Phantom. Whoever was seated behind the wheel, he deliberately set his sights on his 15th target, a Marengo, Illinois police car. This was a bold move, a provocation to those who were desperately trying to stop him as he challenged them or was attempting to scare them away. Officer Lawrence Brown had been driving his patrol car through the quiet streets just before sunrise, his mind still foggy from a lack of sleep. And as he sipped on a hot cup of coffee, he couldn't help but feel grateful for the peace and quiet of this early morning shift. All of that changed when he noticed a blur of blue out of the corner of his eye. As if coming out of nowhere, a Rolls-Royce Phantom, an uncommon sight in these middle-class neighborhoods, appeared. But what caught Officer Brown's attention most was the incredible speed at which it was traveling. The policeman immediately turned on his siren and his lights and began to pursue the speeding vehicle. The Phantom showed no signs of slowing down, even around the sharp turns, reaching speeds of up to 90 miles an hour as it weaved in and out through early morning traffic. Officer Brown struggled to keep up, gritting his teeth in frustration. He knew that this could be his chance to finally catch the Blue Phantom, the elusive gunman who had been terrorizing Central Illinois highways for months. The officer radioed for backup and focused all of his attention on following the Phantom. Unfortunately, despite his best efforts, he couldn't catch up to the fleeing vehicle. The Blue Phantom seemed to effortlessly dodge any attempts at interception, making turns that seemed inhuman, and easily disappeared into the distance.
Dang.
As Officer Brown's patrol car came to a stop, he just couldn't help but feel dejected. He had lost sight of the Phantom once again, and this time it seemed like for good. somehow the ghost car vanished along a straightaway as though it had driven into another realm.
Oh, so we're talking Back to the Future shit.
Possibly. But instead of a DeLorean, he chose a Rolls Royce. Feeling defeated yet determined, Officer Brown radioed in an update on his failed attempt to catch the Blue Phantom. He knew that they couldn't give up now, not when they were so close to catching him. Little did they know that this incident would only be one of many similar encounters that the police would have with the mysterious gunman in their relentless pursuit to bring him to justice. They became his favorite targets.
Great.
Well, it also seems that on that very same day, State Police Chief Thomas J. O'Donnell was briefing reporters. In his quote, he stated, "We have not relaxed our search, and we are investigating every case. But we are not convinced this is a phantom gunman, or that any shots were fired in most of the shooting incidents reported. We have yet to find anyone who saw the gun or could give anything definite about the description of the sniper. On the other hand, we have a maze of vague and conflicting information that does not add up to the conclusion that one gunman is causing all these reports."
So everyone was lying about the cops?
So yes, like you say, there's a difference of opinions because according to the police chief, the attacks were blamed on thrown stones and firecrackers.
Of course they were.
Despite O'Donnell's assurances, the Blue Phantom's malevolent grasp tightened, and each attack more audacious and sadistic than the last. No one was spared from the specter's reign of terror, as the shadowy driver reveled in spreading panic and chaos with unrelenting force. Chapter 4. The Blue Phantom Seeks Vengeance. In a desperate attempt to prove his existence as a gunman, the Blue Phantom relentlessly continued to pursue and attack innocent motorists. There would be the sound of gunfire and screeching tires continuing through the streets as drivers tried to escape the Phantom's wrath. With each passing car, his determination grew stronger and his attacks became more calculated and dangerous. No one was safe from this madman's rampage, as more bullet holes appeared in the side of cars. William Moffat had braced himself shortly after O'Donnell's news conference. On this day, he fell against the steering wheel as a loud crack echoed through his car. He glanced at the shattered window, shards of glass glinting in the sunlight, and swerved to avoid a blurring car racing past. Another bullet then flew past him, narrowly missing his head. He knew he had to report this incident to the police while driving east on Route 66 near Springfield. Moffat would later scoff at Police Chief O'Donnell's theory, his eyes blazing with disbelief. To him, it was ridiculous to think that the sniping incidents were harmless pranks caused by thrown rocks or firecrackers. The truth was much more sinister, and Moffat's broken car window was proof enough that the Phantom did exist, even if the ghost seemed able to take a different form and was now driving other automobiles, to include a dark green sedan.
Ooh, we're fixing to get up to Christine. Blue, green, red.
Was this ghost now changing its appearance or spreading to possess other vehicles?
Oh.
Unconvinced by the claims that the Blue Phantom was a mere legend, one hardened truck driver in the Clinton area dared to challenge fate and invited the supposed specter into his life. Within his rig, he taunted the rifle-wielding ghost as he sped down the deserted highways. Unbeknownst to him, the Blue Phantom would soon answer his mocking call for a terrifying account, and the truck driver would never forget. It was just as the clock struck the early morning hours on June 17th, the unsuspecting trucker felt the sudden jolt as two bullets tore through his windshield, shattering the glass into a thousand tiny daggers that rained down on him. Miraculously, both bullets barely missed him, but the deafening sound of gunfire filled the air, leaving him with trembling hands as he struggled to control the wheel and escape the danger looming on the darkened roads. When police officers arrived and combed the area for evidence, their eyes would scan the grounds for any clue. And when they inspected the bullet holes, their conclusion was clear. These were 22 caliber slugs fired from a rifle with deadly precision. Huh. There were no trace of stones or firecrackers, only the chilling reminder that a dangerous and calculated sniper was on the loose. In fact, the night before, mere hours before the Clinton incident, D.L. Weatherford had spotted a lone figure standing on the edge of a bridge along Route 121. He said that the darkness seemed to cling to the man like a shroud, his silhouette an ominous presence against the moonlit sky. It felt as if Weatherford stared into the void, the ghost's intentions unknown but undoubtedly sinister. The man appeared tall and lean, wearing his khaki shirt and trousers neatly pressed but rumpled from the night's activities. The shadows of the night hid his features, but it was clear that the man held a revolver in one hand, its shining metal reflecting pale light. As the shadow leaned against a blue sedan parked on the side of the road, his expression was unreadable, but he seemed as if he was in danger, and he stood there, seemingly waiting for something to happen. Could this man have been the driver of the Blue Phantom, or perhaps connected with the vengeful ghost, as if summoned from hell and now sought to end the nightmare? Weatherford chose not to stop to ask questions of the ghostly figure he believed deep down to be connected to the nefarious Blue Phantom. As he could feel the hair on the back of his neck stand on end, he raced away, quietly and quickly. To another frantic couple from Decatur, they raced through the city streets on June 19th, their hearts pounding in terror as they chased a blue Ford. It seems the driver of the vehicle had fired a deadly gunshot at them, and they were now determined to catch him before he could harm anyone else. Just as they were closing in, the Blue Phantom's car disappeared without a trace, leaving them stopped and trembling on the empty road. To a Fred Manley, he was driving on Route 16 between Charleston and Ashmore when a yellow panel truck pulled alongside his car.
God.
He then heard a loud blast and saw the barrel of a shotgun pointing towards him from the truck's window. Shaking, he swerved off the road and immediately called for the police. And when they arrived, they found that there was indeed a bullet hole in the passenger side door, confirming Fred's report of being shot at by the driver of the yellow truck. As the attacks were starting to ramp up on a dark, desolate road outside of Champaign, Illinois.
Are you sure it wasn't on a dark, desert highway?
This was a little before that, so yes, for the moment. The still night air was broken by the roar of a black sedan as it sped towards L.J. Wiles' car. Because in a flash of headlights and the glint of a gun barrel, four shots ripped through the night, shattering glass and puncturing metal. Wiles' screams filled the silence as one bullet tore through his window, barely missing his head. Frantically shaking off his initial shock, he mustered all of his courage to pursue the fleeing gunman's car into Champaign. But as the car impossibly disappeared into the traffic, Wiles felt a surge of frustration and anger surge through him. The blue phantom had struck again, leaving a trail of chaos and confusion in his wake.
Wow. So that's like, how many cars? Like five?
At least four. And the blue phantom would be the most popular one, but there does seem to be some other variations, or there are copycats.
Wow.
Regardless, today's episode's source included Monsters of Illinois, Mysterious Creatures in the Prairie State by Troy Taylor. This book is available on Amazon and covers many of the state's paranormal, including the Big Muddy Monster, the Mad Gasser of Mattoon, and the Blue Phantom of Route 66.
Hey, we did the Blue Phantom, right? The Phantom Gasser.
The Mad Gasser.
We do
have an episode on the Mad Gasser.
Yes.
So yes, this is a very good book. And I highly recommend that you get it on Amazon now.
Nice.
The idea of a possessed car is found in modern culture, and there are many movies today about ghostly cars and phantom drivers. Obviously, Goldie Ann, you know of the most well-known is Christine by Stephen King.
Yeah.
About a 1958 Plymouth Fury that seems possessed with a mind of its own and a jealous, possessive personality.
Did you see that they're talking about, I don't know if this is fan-made or if it's real, because you can never tell these days, but that Blumhouse is going to remake Christine?
Well, Blumhouse does seem to enjoy doing a lot of remakes, so I wouldn't put it past them.
Well,
I guess something for us to keep an eye on.
I don't think they should mess with Stephen King movies.
They always do. Every Stephen King movie has a remake at some point. Another movie is The Car from 1977, which asks if it is a phantom, a demon, or the devil itself. As on a dark desert
highway.
Yeah, now you got me doing it. But what I was going to say was on a small desert town is terrorized by a powerful, seemingly possessed car. And the local sheriff is the only one who can stop it. So, after you finish listening to this podcast, curl up on the couch tonight with the lights off and enjoy some phantom car movies tonight.
Really? Are you going to do that with me?
Not exactly the kind of thing you would do on an Easter evening, babe.
So I do it every day.
Maybe sometime soon. I know. You scare me, babe. You really do. But in closing, Goldie, what do you think?
I think it's cool, obviously.
And he's never been found. They've never been identified. So theoretically,
and no one was ever killed,
still
right?
Be out there. No, just wounds. A couple of different people have been injured, but no one had been killed.
That's good. That's good.
It seems that the Blue Phantom was more into spreading terror than actual death.
Well, that's a bright side.
The Blue Phantom was once a fearsome being of unknown origins, but he'd vanished into the shadows of history, leaving behind nothing but a ghostly memory. The Illinois cities and their people were left to wonder and speculate about its origin, his twisted agenda, and the ultimate fate. Some whispered that the blue Rolls Royce is still among them, watching and waiting for the perfect moment to strike again. Others believed that it had been dispatched back to whatever hell it originated from, its powers and influence extinguished. And as the years have passed, the legend of the Blue Phantom of Route 66 has grown stronger, and its enigmatic presence will forever be ingrained in those who travel the highways of Illinois. The legacy of the Blue Phantom is one of fear and mystery, one that will probably never be solved, but will be told for generations to come. Now, before we end this episode, I do want to remind you that we are active on social media and would be thrilled to hear your opinions about the Blue Phantom. Don't hesitate to share your stories and opinions with us. You can reach us on our Facebook page, Within the Mist Podcast. We are also on Instagram and have an email, withinthemistpodcast@gmail.com, for any of you who would like to share your stories. We hope you enjoyed our tale about the Blue Phantom. Come back next week for more about cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries. But in the meantime, watch the highways for a gunman-wielding car and remain constantly curious. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.